school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there in the Central Valley. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I am your host, Paul Mitters, here at First String Sports Local. We are local here on 1430 ESPN. And local it is here at First String Sports. This is a locally owned sporting goods store, and it's the high school headquarters, man. I do my show here every Saturday for the last 2 years, walking on into First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue on the right-hand side where I do my show. It's the Letterman's Jacket Room. I'm looking at Letterman's Jackets from Buchanan, Fresno Christian, Kingsburg, Clovis West, San Joaquin Memorial, Sierra High School up there, and Toll House. This is definitely the place to be. Thank you to First String Sports for being my day one sponsors. They do an incredible job. Come on down here again, Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. You can follow me, Paul Mitters, on Twitter, at Paul Mitters, PaulMeadors. You could also follow at 1430 ESPN. We are your local high school sports leader for sure. If you tuned in thinking that you're going to listen to the San Francisco Giants against the Detroit Tigers, go ahead and head on over to 790 ESPN. The game is going to be on there. But stay on my station, man. Stay on 1430 ESPN. Listen to my show, Pure High School Sports Talk, for the next 2 hours every Saturday, 10 to 12 here. Again, if you're looking for the San Francisco Giants game against the Detroit Tigers, head on over to 790 ESPN. They will have, that's our sister station, they'll have the game for you. Well, it's going to happen for the next 2 hours here on this station at First String Sports. We're going to be chatting with Gabe Camarillo, as always. He produces a show. He has his own show Monday through Thursday, Home Field Advantage. Hey, he does an incredible, incredible job breaking down all the high school stuff throughout the week. I get the Saturday show. I get to recap everything and preview everything. Gabe is smack dab in the middle of the week, so he does a great job bringing you all the high school sports action. A lot of Fresno State stuff, too. Fresno State has their spring review, should be called, today at on their home field. So, that's going to be a big deal. Gabe and I are going to be chatting about that. Also, at the bottom of this hour, around 10:33, we have Clovis baseball coach J.D. Sales. You know the name, right? You know his dad, John, part of that incredible 1988 Fresno State baseball team, an absolute legend, pitched 5 years in the minor leagues, drafted by the Chicago Cubs. And J.D., he's made his own legacy as well as an incredible baseball player at Clovis West. He was a Fresno B Player of the Year, League Player of the Year, pitched at Fresno State for a couple years, and then went to Fresno Pacific. I think a lot of people forgot that J.D. Sales had a great year, one of the great all-time great pitchers at Fresno Pacific, won a national title there, was able to close out that game. He started all year and was able to finish out the national championship game. So always fun to talk to J.D. Sales. You know his success as a player, as a coach, too, at San Joaquin Memorial, first year head coach at Clovis High. Always a great conversation with J.D. So that's coming up around 10:33. At the top of hour number two, we got a Clovis West combo, Clovis West baseball combo. This is the baseball edition. We're going to be talking mostly high school baseball on the show today. Tyler Patrick, who's a junior, and his dad, Kevin, the head coach. Tyler is an exceptional athlete. He's a quarterback on the team, starting quarterback as a sophomore. You know what Clovis West did last year in baseball, number one seed. Won the Tri-River Athletic Conference. And, head coach Kevin, dad, does an incredible job there at Clovis West. They're coming in at First String Sports at 11 o'clock. That's going to be a great conversation. And at the bottom of the hour, Kerman head coach Jared Coleman. Remember last year, 28-0 to start the season, a central section record during the season, and they lost in that first round, that heartbreaking game. They got a really good team. So looking at their roster, they have a lot of they have three freshmen on the team. So does Clovis High. We're talking to JD about that. A lot of freshmen on varsity team getting a lot of playing time. But, a lot of freshmen and sophomores and a few seniors sprinkled in and a really, really good junior that we're going to talk about. So that's Kerman head coach Jared Coleman at the bottom of hour number two. Have to mention Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating as well. They are a sponsor of the show at 1430 ESPN. Got to mention the weather. It's beautiful weather. Absolutely gorgeous out there. It's going to be a high of 77 degrees. Right now it's about 50, what do we got, about 55 degrees. I'm wearing shorts today. It's the first time in a long time that I've worn shorts out in the public. And, man, I'm thinking about heading over to the Fresno State Spring Review. Got another thing that I might be going to, the MCC sale at my alma mater. Speaking of Fresno Pacific College, that's where I graduated from, and they have something called the MCC sale. It's a cool deal where you have a lot of food booths, and they have huge auctions for the Mennonite relief fund. So I might be checking that out as well, but it's a gorgeous, gorgeous day out there. I want to run over a few baseball scores from yesterday of note. It's kind of strange, right? We came out of spring break this last week, and some leagues continued with league play, and some of our schools were playing teams on the coast. It was kind of a strange schedule, but everybody gets on track next week as far as league play goes. So we mentioned Clovis West, Coach Kevin Patrick and son Tyler coming in at the top of hour number two. They played two games at the coast. It wasn't a it was just a Friday deal where they decided to drive to the coast and play two games. Well, they beat Pacific Grove 15-5 in their game, and then they dropped one. Let me scroll down here to Hollister. They lost 4-3. So we'll talk about those games with Coach Kevin Patrick. A couple other games as note. Bullard, man, they look really, really strong. They are the number one ranked team on Max Preps, number one ranked team by Gabe Camarillo. We're going to be talking about those rankings after the break. They beat San Joaquin Memorial 13-7. They beat them on Tuesday, a game I was able to go to, 18-4. They were up 18-1 at one point. Bullard, just a super strong team. Not a lot of weaknesses in that program this year. So they swept San Joaquin Memorial this week. Congrats to Jason Pappy. Fresno High Warriors beat Torres 12-1. Sunnyside beat McLean 2-1. Kerman, we mentioned we got Jared Coleman coming on the show, beat Reedley 12-0. An upset down in Bakersfield. Ridgeview beat Frontier 6-5. Liberty, Bakersfield, good team. They beat Garces 7-1. A couple other scores of note here I want to mention. Yeah, Clovis North put up 13 runs against Morro Bay, and Clovis High shut out San Luis Obispo. Had a conversation yesterday with the CIF, and they're going to have a vote here in a couple weeks. It's really, really interesting. So the vote is about removing some language in the playoffs. We talk a lot about playoffs and what's fair and what's not, and playoffs are always being tinkered with. You know, there wasn't any open division. There was no open division this year for basketball. But they're taking out or voting on whether or not to take out or tweak the language with single eliminations for playoffs in Division One. They might go to pool play. Let's think about that for a little bit. I like that. So you could have 12 teams even. You could have 8 teams in the playoffs, and you have pool play. The Southern Section does it for basketball. And, you know, those are some monster teams, the Modern Days and, you know, the Sierra Canyons and obviously the Harvard-Westlake who won it all this year. But they have a nice model there. And so the Central Section, they're not voting on having pool play for basketball and volleyball playoffs, but they're just voting to change the language, because right now it says single elimination. So if they would say double elimination or however they want to word it, then that could open it up to another vote for pool play. So that's something we'll keep an eye on for sure. And, guys, spring playoffs. I mentioned how beautiful the weather is out there, but spring playoffs are going to be here before we know it, middle of May. I mean, heck, it's already April 15th, year of our Lord 2023. So things are definitely moving fast as we know it. I want to bring this up before we take a break. You guys know, if you listen to this show, you guys know my personality. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I remember when Chris Pacheco, owner of 1430 ESPN, who's an incredible advocate for student athletes up and down the Central Section, when we had a conversation about this show, what he was looking for in this show, he said, "Hey, Paul, I want your personality to shine. I want you to connect with your listeners. I want you to, you know, to be open and honest and share what's going on." And so, you know, a year ago at this time, my father passed away. So yesterday was the 1 year anniversary, and I did a show two days after he passed. And my father, unfortunately, suffered a severe stroke about 4.5 years ago and was paralyzed and lost his ability to speak. So it was a really, really difficult time. And he passed away in peace, and we surrounded by his family. And he was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man, wonderful father, and a great grandfather. And just the outpouring of love at that time, especially, that I heard, and the great stories of how he cared for people and how it was never about him. Those stories have resurfaced in the last couple of days. It's just been great to revisit it. And, you know, as a father myself, you know, you take those examples, those good examples that your dad gave you, and I've just tried to live up to those expectations. And, you know, being, on the radio and going to a lot of games and talking to a lot of people, you see lots of different things out there in regards to families and fathers. But I know this, fathers, you know, we all have a deep sense of wanting what's best for our kids, and it comes out in different ways. Sometimes it doesn't come out very good, and sometimes it comes out, you know, very, very soft and caring. And you know, I just want people out there to know, and the listeners to know, that the fathers, we care for our children so much. And student athletes, if you're listening to this, know that your dads care for you tremendously as well. So hats off to my dad. He's a wonderful, wonderful man, Vietnam veteran. And, you know, I miss him dearly, but I know he's with me for the rest of my life. So that's me. I'm open and honest on the radio. And for all the dads out there, keep grinding. I know you love your kids. I know you guys are doing a great job. All right, coming up after the break, we'll be talking with Gabe Camarillo about Fresno State football, about high school baseball, and much, much more, coming up on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back, Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Just gave a little talk about my father and how important fathers are in people's lives. My father passed away a year ago yesterday on April 14th, and baseball was a huge part of our lives. My dad, you know, grew up in Dinuba, California, and he lived on a farm, and he would tell me stories of when he grew up. He would pretend that he was Gil Hodges, and he was able to listen to Dodger games on the radio as a kid. And he'd have a 2x4 out there and throw rocks up and swing it and pretend he was on the Brooklyn Dodgers back in the day. And today is Jackie Robinson Day throughout Major League Baseball. Everyone's wearing number 42, and Jackie Robinson was one of his heroes as well. And, you know, my dad passed on his love of baseball to me. And he used to joke too that he was captain of the C team at Dinuba High School. The problem was there was no C team at Dinuba High School, so he just played for fun. He didn't play high school sports, but he passed his love of baseball and the Dodgers to me, and was always supportive. So, baseball is definitely my favorite sport, and you know, I coach baseball at Emmanuel and play there as well. And Gabe Camarillo is coming on right now. Gabe has seen a lot of baseball as well. He hits the pavement hard, or, you know, hits the baseball fields hard, and he's always at game. So, Gabe, first of all, hey, happy Saturday to you, man. It's going to be a beautiful day, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful day. A lot of local events going on. You mentioned earlier in the show the spring preview for Fresno State football is this afternoon. You have Vintage Days on campus at Fresno State. And, of course, high school baseball-wise, we just wrapped up a couple big tournaments. We just wrapped up a week of league play for the CMAC, another league. So I'm excited to talk about it with you.
No, there's lots of different schedules, Gabe. I kind of hit on that a little bit in the opener, looking at yesterday's scores. You got teams going to the coast. We had teams that played in league, and we had Easter classics and a lot of tournaments over Easter break. But I think next week is full sail ahead, and man, it's kind of crazy too, Gabe. Thinking about it, playoffs are going to be here before we know it. You know, the track plays their 15 games, three in a week. Other schools only play 10 games in league. Let's talk about some of the top teams. Let me go to Max Preps right now, Gabe. And, you know, obviously there are base divisions for these teams, so some of these teams will not be lumped together in the playoffs. But with Max Preps, you got Bullard at number one, Kingsburg, who we've seen a couple times, are really impressive. They're number two, according to Max Preps. Bakersfield, Christian, Stockdale, Frontier, Buchanan. There's Doss Palace and Fowler at 7-8, and there's Lemoore at number 9. And then you got Redwood at 10. Then you got a few of the bigger schools. You got Clovis. J.D. Sales is here already at First String Sports. Going to be talking to him after the break at number 13. You got Madero, who's having a really good year at 17. These are a little skewed, Gabe. We like to watch games with our own eyeballs and make our rankings that way. But anything stand out to you in those rankings? What do you have different?
You have three base division 4 teams in the top 10, if I'm hitting that correctly. You got, yes, Kingsburg, Dos Palos, and Fowler. That tells me that D3 playoffs are going to be insane. You're going to have a lot of competitive games in D3, but it also goes to show just how widespread the talent is. And I've said this before, right? You have good teams up and down Highway 99. You go up to Madera. The Madera High Coyotes are 5-0 in CMAC play. They are the clear-cut challenger to Bullard for the CMAC title. If you go down to Kingsburg, down Highway 99, and you see a really good Vikings team that at their best beat 2 track teams. And then you go further down 99, and you have a talent-rich area in Bakersfield. In my ESPN rankings, 4 of the top 12 teams come from Bakersfield, and specifically come from that Southwest Yosemite River League. You got Frontier, Stockdale, Centennial, and Liberty. I know Liberty's 9-10. I think they're 10-10 now after yesterday. That might be one of the better 10-10 teams I've seen this year, because they have a really tough schedule, and we know what Liberty and the Patriots can do come postseason time. So you have a Division I field that's going to be wide open. Everywhere down Highway 99, up and down, and even in Fresno and Clovis, you got a lot of good teams that are capable of winning a Division I championship. And I know in past years we've seen the track champion kind of be the number one seed in the playoffs. I'm not sure that's going to be the case this year because of just how balanced it is.
Make a case right now, Gabe, for Bullard being the top team.
Okay, so here's the thing. Bullard had a big injury coming into this season. They lost their starting shortstop, who's committed to Arizona State, Beckett Zvorek. So I would not have blamed anyone for thinking that Bullard was going to miss their opportunity. But this is the year they've been waiting for, because you have Cam Schneider and Trevor Wilson as seniors. Sammy Reynolds has kind of been an underrated pitcher. People don't really know much about him coming into the year, and now he lights it up with a sub-2.5 ERA. This is a team that had a couple question marks coming in. They lost Jakey Ibarra. That was their number 2 pitcher, so they were wondering who's going to step in for that second role. Reynolds has done that, and that's been the only question mark on that staff. The bullpen, you could say, is a bit of a question mark as well, but let's be honest, Paul. Those two pitchers, Cam Schneider and Sammy Reynolds, don't let them go to the bullpen. They are gamers. They'll go the full 7 innings if they have to. The lineup is the lineup. It's loaded. You got Trevor Wilson leading things off. Schneider, I mentioned him as a pitcher. He's going to go to Fresno State as a hitter because he's that good of a guy at the plate. Keenan Gomez is headed to San Diego State. You have other guys stepping up. Freshmen like Wyatt Rosenthal, who had the game-winning RBI against Redwood in the Easter Classic Championship. I've heard a lot about Vincent Robinson as well. Jackson Murphy, Jake Porter. The list of guys that I can name for this team is the reason why this team is number one, because they have depth, Paul.
I'm going to take it from Tom Donald, too, when he says that Trevor Wilson is one of the top 20 to 25 players in the state. Seems like every time I go watch Bullard, he's doing something special, hit a grand slam. When I saw him a few weeks ago, and then against San Joaquin Memorial, he hit a drive down the line in right field, got past the right fielder, and he was gone. It was an inside-the-park home run. So, yeah, Trevor Wilson, he definitely can get at it in center field. I want to make a case for Redwood, Gabe, and the reason why is because of pitching. And man, from what I hear, and I haven't been able to see these guys with my own eyes, but from what I hear and people that I trust, they have two arms that are absolutely legit. And when you have two arms like that, you could go far in the playoffs. I'm talking about Joey Volshko, who there's 12 to 13 scouts at every single one of his games when he pitches. The guy's throwing consistently 93, has been clocked at 95 this year. When you have a dude like that, you could go you could go very far in the playoffs. And Reese Bueno, he's throwing just as well. He pitched against Bullard, and the reason why Bullard came back and got 5 runs on the bottom of the 6 because he wasn't in the game. So he's a very impressive player. So I make a case for Redwood as being one of those teams that, hey, right now, where are they? They're 10th. So if they are a 4 or 5 seed, and you think about Buchanan, it could be a 4 or 5 seed as well. That could be a potential matchup that is going to be absolute monster. So that's a little recap about baseball. Man,
I can't disagree with that. Be perfect. Yeah, what? I can't disagree with that. You're right. Redwood has the pitching. I think the top five in my eyes all have good pitching. Frontier has a UCLA commit, Luke Rodriguez, to go with Logan Judd. And if they get Brady Durkin back, that is a trio of starters for Frontier that will make you happy. Frontier also brings back their top five batters from last year's team that made it to the semis. So Frontier's in the top five in my eyes. Redwood has the pitching, like you said. Stockdale still has Ryan Featherston and Bowen Salyards through a complete game yesterday over Centennial. And I think Bakersfield Christian, you got to put them in the top five. I think they're number two right now or number three in the Max Preps rankings. I don't care what base division they're in. They could beat a Division I team in the playoffs. I've seen it before where maybe you'll have a lower division team come up like a Memorial. Remember a couple years ago with J.D. Sales' team with Sugusby and Saldivar, they were in the Division I conversation. They were the two seed, and that team was loaded, and that team was capable of beating Division I squads, and it was D3, D2. I see Bakersfield Christian, and I see the same thing with their pair of Division I bound talents in Toby Twist and Mason Brassfield. So pitching is key. I think if you have pitching, you're going to be in the top five for a lot of rankings, and you're going to have a chance to win a championship.
You're right. D2 and D3 is going to be loaded with their pitchers as well. Gabe, I want to ask you, too. I know you're going to be heading off to watch the Fresno State Bulldogs. It was at practice number 15. Was it called? It was a spring review. You are very well versed in all things Fresno State, especially with football. You've been attending practices. You know, I listen to your show like a lot of people out there. You talk about the quarterbacks and who's going to be the quarterback. What exactly are you expecting, and what are you looking forward to? 1 o'clock?
Yes.
Is that when this practice is going to start? Okay, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock is the first time that Fresno State fans will watch number one, Mikey Keene. And Mikey Keene has had a lot of attention drawn to him because of what he did at UCF. You think about what he did at UCF. He beat a ranked Cincinnati. He came in as a freshman to replace an injured Dylan Gabriel and actually led the Knights to a Gasparilla Bowl, and they beat Florida. University of Florida in the Gasparilla Bowl. As a freshman, he did that. So he definitely deserves a lot of consideration for the starting quarterback job. I just don't know if Tedford's going to announce that today. I don't think he should announce it today because Think about this, Paul. In the current day and age of transfer portal, if you name a starter in April, by May, you're going to lose everyone else in that quarterback room. You could see maybe a Josh Wood or Jalen Henderson enter the portal, and Tedford's doesn't want that. I think we're going to see some movement out of the quarterback room. It just doesn't make sense for there to be six guys that all think they're the starter and for them to all stay. There are other guys that I think can stay and be patient. Jaden Mandel is one of those guys. I think he could benefit from a redshirt year to just get up to the speed of the college game and to get bigger and into college football shape, because you got to be able to be a college dude. You got to be built like it. And I think Jaden's definitely making progress in that category. So if he uses the fall to continue that progress, I think he could be a factor down the road. I think Josh Wood could be a factor down the road too. I think he has the biggest ceiling of all the quarterbacks. But the thing is, Paul, Mikey Keene has 3 years of eligibility. So if you name him the starter, whether it be today, whether it be in August, whether it be September 1st, whether it be before you take the field against Purdue, you want to make sure that you're able to keep other guys in the room, because if you lose a Josh Wood, you might regret it later.
Oh, absolutely, and depth is the key at all levels, especially the quarterback position, Fresno State. And, yeah, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch it and talk about it and make guesses and, you know, do all those things that we do on the radio, Gabe. But one more thing. I heard the defense, right? We've got a couple lockdown defenders that are coming back this year. Are those two guys going to be playing today? And what's the level of competition you think it's going to happen out there?
I don't expect them to play too much. You're talking about the cornerbacks, Cam Lockridge and Carlton Johnson.
Yep.
Talking about Lavelle Bailey, the returning linebacker. I don't think they're going to get too much reps because we already know what they can do. I think today is, for the coaches, an opportunity one more time before they hang up the helmets and put away the footballs until August. It's their last chance to evaluate. It's their last chance to see who gained the most from spring and who will they talk to over the offseason and say, hey, you got a good spot coming into this fall, or hey, maybe you should look elsewhere for this fall. Because Tedford has told us they have those conversations after spring ball and they want the best for the player. So if they see the player as a third string, fourth string type of guy, well, they'll have that conversation and say, if you want to play college football, maybe that isn't here in Fresno. And I respect that part of the coaching staff. I think that's what today is all about, is settling some of those depth chart questions. But I know I'm going to get out of here, Paul. I want to make sure I mention something real quick about Fresno State, but a different sport. Have you seen Murph Gray hit the baseball lately?
Oh. We love our Madera South guy, man. Murph has been on the show. He's an incredible, incredible kid. Oh, I was wondering when he's going to crack the lineup. True freshman, and he has definitely taken the team by storm. I mean, he's hitting everything, isn't he?
Yesterday, I was watching the game. I was in the press box, and I start pulling my phone out to take video because I'm like, two runners on. They're down three runs. Murph's at the plate. I can see Murph hitting one out. And sure enough, he hits one out over the left fielder's head against Brady Fontaine, who was dealing. I mean, Brady Fontaine had 80 pitches through seven innings. Or Brady Fontaine. T.J. Fontaine.
T.J.
Fontaine. T.J. Fontaine was on 80 pitches through seven innings. And I'm like, he's going to complete game shutout his hometown Bulldogs. Not the case. It was Murph Gray hitting a home run off of T.J. Fontaine, one of the top two strikeout artists in the conference, a top five ERA. Fontaine is easily one of the best pitchers in this conference, and Murph Gray took him deep. And that's only a freshman, by the way. Murph Gray, only a freshman, but as you said, Paul, out of little old Madera South High School.
I love it. We love our local athletes. And, you know, great to see Murph Gray and T.J. Fontaine from Buchanan. And then, of course, Eshawn Henderson of Clovis West, who was on the bump for Fresno State. Great stuff. We got another local legend coming on the show after the break. J.D. Sale, head coach of Clovis. Thanks, Gabe, and I appreciate everything that you do. Good job by you, my friend.
All right, tell JD I said hi, and thank you, Paul.
Yeah, I will. All right, JD Sales coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to the Jose Gonzalez Show every weekday at 7 a.m.
Here live at First String Sports, I'm your host, Paul Meadows, 1430 ESPN. I got some Fresno Grizzlies tickets here coming on to First String Sports. You guys can have them. I got eight tickets for Saturday. That's today, 6:50. They're playing the Stockton Ports. Sunday, 1:05. Again, Stockton Ports. Come on down here, First String Sports, Blackstone. We'll give you these tickets. Got up to eight free tickets, Fresno Grizzlies. Have J.D. Sales here. First-year coach at Clovis. Cougars are currently 10-8-1. Man, I always hate seeing ties in baseball. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I don't like
that one.
I don't like it.
Looks ugly. Looks ugly on that episode. 10-8-1, 4-2 in the track. Pitched for Clovis West, was player of the year. Went to Fresno State, Fresno Pacific, won two Central Section titles at San Joaquin Memorial before taking the job at Clovis. JD, thanks for coming in today here at First String Sports. You walked in and said, man, I've been in this place in a while. Looks pretty cool. It's a cool setup, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Thanks for having me down here. It's good to see all the high schools represented with the different chairs and hats and lettermans. Pretty cool.
And if people haven't seen this, you got to check it out. Seriously. So you mentioned the chairs, and we do a live feed through Facebook, through my personal Facebook account, and then the 1430 ESPN Twitter account. And we got the Clovis chair right here. We got, you know, the letterman's jackets in the background as well. We just came back from Easter.
Yep.
Right? Well, you got any traditions growing up in the sales family? You got any Easter traditions you guys do?
Well, we go to church. I mean, we go to church every Sunday, but we obviously went to church. We went Saturday night this year, and we just went to dinner as a family, and then Sunday we hung out with my wife's family a little bit, then went to my parents and let my kid have his first Easter egg hunt. You know, he's only 7 months old, so he needed some assistance, but it was fun, good experience. But we always just spend time with the family, hang out, eat good food, and watch baseball after church.
You got to. All right, so D.D., your son, he had the little Easter basket with the grass on it, and help him for the eggs.
Yeah, my grandma's had one that she has my name on it for years, so it's been passed down. So, all right.
That's awesome. How about growing up for yourself? Did you have a brother, right?
Yeah.
You have a brother. Did you guys do anything cool during Easter time, or do you remember some Easter egg hunts? Did anything ever get competitive?
Yeah, we always just went over to my grandparents. My grandma and grandpa had a big backyard, so they'd hide Easter eggs and put dollar bills in them, and we'd go out there and hunt Easter eggs. But just, I mean, through the years, we're always in the middle of baseball season, so it's kind of like a wind down day and get ready for either you're finishing up the Easter tournament or you're getting ready to get back into games the following week. So, but it was always a good time to spend with the family.
Well, the dollar bills are always a big deal, but for me, it was a 50-cent piece.
Yeah.
And that's how long ago that was. 50-cent piece was a cool deal. Then I get back and talk to my students, and they have – there's like Easter egg hunts, community Easter egg hunts, where there's $100 bills in there.
Oh, I need to get to that hunt. Yeah.
$100 bills. All right, so yesterday, you guys went on the road. played San Luis Obispo, shut them out 7-6-0. What was working in that game? Who were some of the standouts?
We just played a really complete game, honestly, from start to finish. We got one of our pitchers back. That's John Caston. He's been just battling some arm soreness, but he's full strength now. We were just careful with him. He's been catching a lot of innings. So we got him back on the mound. He threw two scoreless, and then we kind of staffed it, and everybody threw well. We hit the ball. We got some two-out hits. We had one of our freshmen hit a homer, Maddox Merrill. So it was just a really good day. We played well, played good catch, and played how I want them to play.
Hitting a home run, right? That's a big deal for a freshman.
Yeah. That was he was excited about it. We all were. So, yeah.
So you, like I mentioned, you're 10-8-1, and you're 4-2 in track right now. You've played Central, beat them two out of three, and then you beat Buchanan two out of three games. Is this where you thought the team would be at right now? Have they exceeded expectations, or where do you feel the team's at right now overall?
Well, like I mentioned, we're at full strength now. We're just now getting completely healthy, and I think there's a lot of teams in the Valley this year that probably feel how I do, but I'm confident in our guys, and I believe that we can make a run just as good as anybody else can. So I think that they've completely bought in, and we're at a point where we are going to start playing well every night out is my plan. So, I mean, I don't think we've exceeded expectations, but I think we've got better as the season's gone on, and that's what you want to do. And we have a young group, so we've beat some really good teams, and hopefully we can carry that into the rest of league play here and get ready for playoffs.
And you mentioned young guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you go to Max Preps and look at your roster, you have some young players. You have three freshmen.
Four freshmen
getting significant playing time, and Caston's a sophomore too, right? So just talk about some of your players. Talk about those young guys and what they bring to the field.
Yeah, I mean, they're just good baseball players. You know, they're still freshmen, so they're learning some stuff. But Deegan Rose, for example, has 11 varsity football games under his belt coming into the season.
And a D1 football scholarship offer already.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're freshmen, but I told them this week, I said, you guys aren't freshmen anymore. You've got half a season under your belt or more. It's time to start playing like an older guy, and they kind of took that challenge. But they've played well all year. They're just learning and getting experience, and they're going to be a special group. So.
And your freshman pitcher.
Yeah, right. Logan Georges. Yep.
Tell me about what kind of stuff he's got.
He's been up to 92 miles an hour, and people like to talk about the velocity and all that. But he's also poised on the mound and knows how to pitch and can locate a slider and is working on developing a good changeup. And he knows how to hold runners and field his position and understands the bump plays in first and third. So it's not like I'm just throwing a freshman out there who has good stuff. It's a freshman who knows how to play baseball and compete, so that's what makes him special to me.
And you know Clovis Unified pretty well, being a Clovis West grad yourself, and we know how tight the track is every year. What, in your mind, what are the little details that separate the good teams from the really, really good teams, especially playing in a tough league?
Well, baseball is one of those games where there's so much luck involved, and I tell our guys luck is earned. So you earn luck by doing things the right way and understanding how to play baseball. The team that wins it every year is not the team who hits, oh, we're just going to hit 10 homers and win the Valley. No, we're going to be able to move a guy over, get a two-out hit, understand the bunt plays, first and thirds, and play baseball. So if you work hard and do the right thing, do things the right way, then you're going to have some luck in those tight games is what I tell them.
Well, baseball's a funny game, isn't it, right? Yep. You can make a great pitch, kick a hit, one off the fist, and you know, a dribbler down the first baseline and get a hit. So, or somebody could square one up and right at a guy far
exactly.
out.
Yep.
We're talking with J.D. Sales, the head baseball coach at Clovis High. All right, J.D., so I've known you for the last few years. I've watched you coach and remember you as a player as well, and, you know, reading the stories about you and your father, John, obviously, a competitive guy, right? What gets your juices flowing?
I just love those moments for kids at this point. I mean, and as a coach, you love seeing a kid's face light up with excitement and see the hard work and the stuff that you put in pay off. I mean, that's we all love winning games, but if I can teach them the game and prepare them for the next level, not just to play college, but for life, you know, like for example, yesterday, Merrill hitting that homer. I mean, he was excited. That's the reason you do it as a coach. You do it for your players. So, and I still try to talk to players I've coached and keep that relationship. The relationship piece is the biggest deal. I mean, Bob Bennett used to tell me, they got to respect you, they got to like you, you know. So that's what we try to do. We try to have a good relationship with our players and be transparent with them and create that team atmosphere. But that's what I do it for, the camaraderie with my coaches, my team, and helping young people learn the game.
Where does that come from? Where did you get your coaching philosophy? You've been around baseball your whole life and been around some amazing coaches, but like your particular coaching style, right? Is it a blend of who you are as a person, who you are as a player, and just taking bits and pieces from everybody along the way?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely it. I mean, I was raised in a baseball home. My dad and grandpa were baseball people. But coming up playing, I always knew that I couldn't see myself not being in the game of baseball for my whole life. So I figured start taking mental notes of what you want to do. And, you know, it kind of transpired over the years. I mean, I played for Coach Patrick at Clovis West and Coach Batesel and Coach Hirschhorn, and then one of the biggest influences on how I coach now in terms of the fundamentals is Pete DeLena. I mean, having the opportunity to coach with him for 5 years kind of helped me with a lot of baseball coaching skills. And he's just, I mean, he's been around the game forever and played for great coaches and played in the big leagues. And to have that type of knowledge, you know, I wanted to take advantage of that, and he did a great job mentoring me. So,
what about competitiveness outside baseball? Like, how about ping pong or anything like that? Are you one of those guys that's like, man, I'm not losing a ping pong. I'm not losing to anything.
Well, if I'm doing something, I'm wanting to win. So, I mean, if it's golf or whatever it may be, I'd like to try to win for sure. So,
golf? How's your golf game?
It's getting better, but it's tough to get out there when you got three games a week and a seven-month-old. So I'm taking a little hit right now. Maybe I can get out there this summer and get back on track.
All right, when the Fresno heat really hits, right? Get out there on the golf course. Today's a beautiful day, man, beautiful day for anything outside. So you mentioned your dad. You know, John was an incredible part of Fresno State lore, All-American, drafted by the Cubs, and played in the minor leagues. Dad has been on staff. Like, when did you bring your dad on staff? Was it at Memorial? I know you coached at Kingsburg as well, but
yeah, he came on at Memorial, and then he's been with me ever since. So my first year. So he's been with me for six seasons. So
is he in control of the pitching staff, or what's that look like?
Yeah, I mean, he does all of the bullpen and mechanical work, and he calls pitches. But we also, I mean, myself, I'm involved with the pitchers, obviously, as the head coach. But Scott Sharton's still on our staff, too, who's done the pitchers for a long time there. And he does our catchers and helps with the pitchers. So we have three guys who are involved in the pitchers. But I think we do a good job of not saying too much to these guys and kind of keeping our roles. Like, we do a good job of working together, and it's fun to do because my dad's been at it a long time, but so is Scott, and they both bring some knowledge, and it's a good team to work with.
You mentioned growing up in a baseball family, and what is your first baseball memory? Like, are there pictures of you, like, when you were born where maybe your crib was just all baseballed out? Probably like your son right now.
Well, I mean, I was at the park at a day old because my dad was playing in Winston-Salem. I was born in Charlotte, North Carolina. My dad was in high A or double A out there, and I was at the park right away. I mean, obviously, I don't remember that. My first real memory was in kindergarten. My first baseball game was supposed to be that day, and it was pouring. I remember my mom picking me up, telling me the game was canceled, and I started crying like a baby. So that's my first memory, but the memories are countless of the game. I've been at the yard since I was a little guy. So
when did you – so in high school you hit, right, and you played shortstop when you did pitch. Is that right?
Yep.
Played short. When did you know that you were really good at baseball? Was there a moment in the ballpark where the game maybe was a little bit easier for you than others, or is there when you maybe threw a ball by a guy and are like, man, I could really do this, or maybe you squared one up?
I just remember coming into my own when I was around 11 or 12. You know, you get a little stronger, and, you know, I was always playing for good coaches. My dad and Garrett Crow and Scott Buss and those guys were all coaching us growing up, and I just remember just loving the game and remembering being in some of those moments where you get a big hit or strike a guy out or make a good play. But I knew that the game it just felt right playing. So, I mean, I loved every sport, though, growing up, but baseball was always the one.
When you were in high school, what did you love more? Did you love the thrill of pitching? I know you hit a few home runs as well, right? But, like, hitting bombs or playing shortstop or pitching, what'd you prefer?
I mean, I loved it all. I mean, Coach Patrick put us in a position to compete all the time, and we had good groups. And It was fun to be a part of that program, and I loved it all, but it's hard to – I'd rather strike a guy. I like striking a guy out when he thinks he's got you. So that gets my juices going.
Blowing a fastball by him or making him look silly with something off speed.
I like a swing and miss. So, yeah. But I like any type of strikeout as a pitching guy. So,
yeah. I want to ask you too, JD. You know, growing up, you and your dad, again mentioning your dad and your grandpa, just the big influences they were, and the name, right? The name Sales goes a long way. When you played, did you feel like you ever had to carve out your own identity? You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Did you feel like, man, I'm my own person? Or because you know what people say? Oh, yeah, that's John's son. You better be good.
Yeah, well, my parents never put any pressure on me, neither did my grandparents. So there was never anything like that ever in my mind. You know, you just kind of – my dad didn't treat me like – he never talked about himself when he was coaching us or his playing career. He was there to help us get better, and my grandpa the same way. And there's more to our – lives than just baseball in my family, so that's what kept us grounded, and we never had to worry about trying to prove anything or impress anybody. We just went out and played hard and played the right way, and rest took care of itself. So
what are some of your favorite memories of playing at Clovis West? So graduate 09, am I right?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
09? Okay.
Yeah.
What are some of your great memories playing at Clovis West?
Well, obviously my junior year was exciting. You know, I had a big junior year individually, but we also had a good team. We were in the semis that year, and I remember our quarterfinal game at home versus Liberty. We were down 3-1 with two outs in the seventh at home, and then I hit a homer. The next guy got hit by a pitch, and then Zach Sullivan hit a homer, all with two outs to send us to the semis. So that was a memory, and I know Coach Patrick will be here soon. He remembers that game. That was an exciting time. So that was something that sticks out. But obviously all the track games and the Friday night games and playing with your buddies, I mean, all that stuff's exciting.
Were you baseball through and through? So no basketball, no football.
Well, all the way
till and stuff.
All the way till high school, I played basketball, and I played football, fifth and sixth grade. But I just I knew I wanted to get serious in the weight room and use the off season time to get stronger. And I knew I wanted to be a baseball guy in college. So, but I definitely support multiple sport athletes. For me, that's the direction I needed to go. So,
So Fresno State, you gonna be a Bulldog through and through right out of high school?
Yeah, I just wanted to. I mean, I love that school. I still do. I just wanted to. That's where my heart was. So, I make a lot of. I mean, at that age, you make decisions off emotion a lot of times. So, that's where I wanted to go. But I don't regret any type of decision I've made or any, because everything's led me to where I am now. So, I have no regrets of any decision I made.
And you transferred to Fresno Pacific, yep. And hey, Fresno Pacific is a great program. You mentioned,
yep,
Coach Hirschkorn, his twin boys were on the show a couple weeks ago. Those, you've seen those guys, man. Those are,
yep,
men child. So your time at Fresno Pacific, hey, you go there to win, and you guys did it. You guys won the national championship,
yep,
and you started all year. I got this written down too. Are you still the career leader in ERA?
I have no idea.
So at the time, right? Yeah. So I looked at your bio at Fresno Pacific College, and it was at that time. Maybe somebody's beat it, but at the time, you were the leading ERA guy in school history. You were starter all year, so you get to the national tournament. Talk about that tournament and then closing that thing out.
Yeah, I remember the tournament. I started the first game, so the championship was like 3 or 4 days later, and I remember just running on the treadmill and icing and taking ibuprofen and telling Coach Hirschkorn, hey, if you need me to close something out, I'll be ready. So, and then it worked out that way. So I'm forever grateful for him for allowing me that opportunity, because it's not something I had done in my whole career there, but he let me be on the mound to close it out, which was exciting. I think it was one pitch, too, double play.
So, was it really?
Yeah. So
where was that tournament played at?
It was bad. I think it was Cincinnati area.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
right.
Yep.
So one pitch.
Yep.
National championship.
Yep.
Get that double play.
Yep.
I know JD, you mentioned church in the opener, how that's important to you and the sense of community as well. So talk about how important it is to be out in the community, to build a program, to get to know, obviously, a new program this year, to get to know the kids that are at Clark in the elementary. So how important is that to be out there in the community and get to know everybody?
Yeah, that's very important. I mean, Clovis High has been around for a long time, and James Patrick built that place into a powerhouse. So just trying to build off that and get to know our elementary school kids. We've done some elementary camps already. I have our players around the guys. We have an elementary night. We have – feeder night. I mean, we do all that stuff. Every program in Clovis Unified does that, but we try to get to know our kids and make sure we have an understanding of who's coming up, and that's part of building a community and building a program.
Talking with J.D. Sales, we got about another minute here, Coach. Speaking of like get to know people, I'm curious, what type of movies are your favorite? What type of humor makes you laugh?
Well, I'm not a fiction guy. So I saw one of the questions, Star Wars or Marvel. I'm not into that stuff. I like to watch stuff like based on true events. Stuff like that. But I have a sense of humor. I mean, different things make me laugh, but it's got to catch me on the right day.
All right, So Clovis High, what are you looking forward to the rest of the year, or what are your goals for the program for the rest of the year? I know you've played Central and Buchanan, so you got a lot of great matchups. You got North, is it Clovis North?
Yeah, North next week.
You got Clovis North next week in the three games per week. So what do you want to see from your program for the rest of the way?
I just want us to keep playing the right way. You know, that's the wins and losses take care of themselves based on how you play and how you go about your business. So I think that we have enough talent to make a run here, and I trust my guys, and I go to battle with them any day. So it's got to let the rest take care of itself.
All right, absolutely. All right, JD, it was great to talk to you, man. The time went by really fast. Thanks for sharing some of your memories growing up playing baseball. You're doing a great job. I followed your career for a while. Really appreciate you.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, it's Coach JD Sales, Clovis High. Cougars take on Clovis North next week in a three-game series. Coming up after the break, more baseball talk. We have Tyler and Kevin Patrick from Clovis West coming up on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report here on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports, Blackstone Avenue. This is definitely the place to be here in the Letterman's Jacket Room. That was fun when J.D. Sales came in. Just had a great conversation with him and just talking about how cool it is, you know, looking at his Clovis stuff. So he's all Clovis'd out, right? He's got his Clovis sweatshirt on, his hat. Like, man, there's some Clovis hats over here. I'm going to go check those out. So come on down here to First String Sports. We are definitely the high school sports headquarters. If you missed any part of my show or any of the other shows, you can go to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website, go to podcast, download, check out Central Valley Sports Report, Home Field Advantage with Gabe Camarillo, Jose Gonzalez Show, Bulldog Hour with the trusted voice of Tony D. We got you covered up and down the Central Valley. So Tyler and Kevin Patrick here. Tyler is a junior. Kevin obviously is the head baseball coach, currently 10-9 overall. 5-1 leading the track. Tyler is a junior committed to Fresno State for baseball, also a quarterback on the football team. So, guys, thanks for coming on. First of all, man, it got both
thanks
of you here.
Yeah,
thanks for having us, Paul. Yeah, you bet. Ask JD the same question. And, you know, JD played for you, and, you know, the name Sales goes a long way. But ask him about his Easter traditions growing up in the household. All right, so the Patrick name goes a long way in baseball throughout the Central Valley as well, state and nation. Traditions growing up at Easter, right? What do you guys got, Kevin?
Well, you know, we got a pretty big family, so, you know, we always, you know, usually spent time with my mom's side of the family. Just got together and, you know, had a great meal and, you know, spent some time together and talked a lot of baseball.
How about Easter egg hunts?
Oh, yeah, always. The kids still do. Tyler and Allison, my kids right now, still do Easter egg hunts, yeah.
All right, so we mentioned, you know, always the hunt for the golden egg if I had some money in it. So, Tyler, did Mom and Dad ever put anything cool in the Easter eggs, or are they just kind of your standard candy in the middle or anything like that?
I wouldn't say there's, like, one specific golden egg, but there's always, like, some good ones with some nice gift cards in them.
Do you have cousins do you guys hang out with at Easter, too, or is it just mainly?
It's mainly just us, yeah.
Just you guys? Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of baseball talk, right? And it's usually, right, like, it depends on the schedule and depends on obviously when Easter is, mm-hmm. right? As, you know, sometimes Easter is even in March before Major League Baseball hits, but is it kind of like, you know, eat, sit in a chair, eat some more deviled eggs, and watch baseball and talk baseball?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That sounds like a good day. Okay. Yesterday's game, I asked you guys, so you had that doubleheader. You played at Pacific Grove. I was wondering how that worked. So you guys split, right? Was it a long day? Was it as expected? Was it just to try to keep sharp after the Easter Classic, Kevin? What was kind of the goal?
Well, you know, we actually Pacific Grove was on the schedule originally because they came to us last year, so we were returning the trip to them. And then also, you know, with some of the rainouts that we've had earlier this year, we were able to pick up the Hollister game also and get two games out of it. So yeah, it was a long day, but you know, and we split obviously. You know, we wanted to win both games, but, you know, I will say our team played really well that second game against Hollister. That's a good team. They would, you know, I have no doubt that they'd finish in the top part of the track and, you know, compete in our Valley playoff system as well. So it was a good day of baseball for us.
Tyler, so you pitched in the second game against Hollister and you caught in the first game? Is that how that worked?
No, I just hit in the first game.
You hit in the first game?
Yeah.
Okay, so how'd you do yesterday? What was working? Obviously, you guys didn't come away with the win in the second game, but what kind of was working for you a little bit?
Which game, first or second?
Second game when you pitched.
I mean, it was a tough lineup. It was good to compete against them, but our defense played really good that game, got them a lot of ground balls, and I think we really competed. It was tied at one point. They were up at one point. I think we were up by one at one point possibly, but we competed really well, and I thought it was a really good game against a really good team.
Who hit the ball for you on that Pacific Grove game? You guys won 15-5. You guys put it on him early, or how that worked?
It was good. I think Mark Anthony went 4-for-4, so he had a great day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kevin, so a lot of things were clicking in that first game offensively?
Yeah, you know, Pacific Grove hasn't had a whole lot of success this year, so, I mean, I think we did what we were supposed to do in that game. One of the things that I took away from it is Dylan Sinaway. He started on the mound for us and had a really effective outing. He kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start this year, but he's back to pitching like we know he's capable of, and, you know, we're going to need him down the stretch because we've had some other guys that have kind of stepped up and emerged into a starter role, but, you know, Dylan, we definitely think is going to have to throw some big innings for us later this year. So that was good. And obviously offensively, we have a lot of guys that are starting to swing the bats a little bit better right now. And, you know, obviously if we can get that consistency moving forward, you know, we'd like our chances. Obviously, you know, we don't want to be 10-9 right now, but if you look at the big picture, you know, we've played a lot of close games. You know, we've lost a lot of one run games and games in extra innings. So, you know, if we put it all together, you know, we think that we can be a really quality team and, you know, make a run here.
Kevin, help me out here. It just, from my perspective, tell me if I'm right or wrong. It feels like baseball hasn't hit a real groove yet. Here we are on, you know, April 15th, and you're about to hit the back end of league play. Maybe is it the rain? Like, how do you feel as a coach about that?
You know, I'm sure that has definitely plays into it. You know, I think the best way to describe it is it's been challenging with all the rain that we've gotten because it's been tough to get on the field and get the reps that you need to be successful and be a clean defensive team. And we are fortunate. We do have an indoor facility that we can get into a lot so we can get some swings inside on those rainy days. But all in all, you know, you can't replicate what you can actually do on the field. So it has been challenging to say.
I've heard there's even some teams out there that haven't been able to hit on the field yet,
right
for batting practice at all this year. So yeah. Strange year, but I want to ask you too, Kevin, before I get to Tyler here, just tell me a little bit more about the squad this year, what your team's strengths are.
Well, you know, first of all, our pitching has been outstanding in the first part of the year. You know, Tyler and Brody, Jake Turley has been fantastic for us as well. We've got some other guys too, you know, like I said, I mentioned Sinaway, but we've got a couple other seniors. Jonah Fragas has been good for us. John Jimenez is a junior that's pitched well for us. We've got a freshman, Adam Placencia, who's only thrown a couple innings because those other guys have thrown so well, but he's going to be really, really good for us as well. So, you know, the pitching's been good. The defense has played good enough for us to win games. And like I said, you know, before, I think we're starting to get healthy, you know, and get the lineup out there that we thought we'd have out there from day one. Yesterday was pretty much the first time we were healthy and we were all out there that I thought, you know, hey, this might be our lineup and get us rolling. And, you know, we took some good swings yesterday, so that was good to see. You know, if we can keep that rolling and be consistent, I like our chances.
Talking with Kevin Patrick, head baseball coach at Clovis West. Tyler, I want to ask you about football and basketball in just a second, but talk about baseball. So you've been on varsity since your freshman year. Pitching, are you catching a little bit this year?
Yeah.
As well? So you're catching,
still doing both. Yeah.
Okay, still doing both.
Yeah.
What do you prefer right now? Pitching or catching? Man, catching to me is, I don't know, it's the ultimate position is shortstop. Literally everybody is out in front of you. You see them, you could control the game.
You're in control.
You're working with your pitcher, right? I love catching, but pitching, you're obviously all eyes are on you as well. So what do you prefer?
I don't think I could pick one, but I think they both have their benefits. I mean, pitching, I love competing. I mean, you're in control pitching. You throw the ball. I mean, I just love competing on the mound. And then behind the plate, I mean, I like picking up my pitchers and just having their back and just controlling the game back there as well.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, controlling the game definitely as a catcher. And you watch Major League Baseball, and you know there's just those catchers that just are able to work with their pitchers and control the game. You know, as a pitcher, you know you want to be able to trust your catcher and make sure you know you call a slider, boom, you better be able to to block that thing, especially if there's a runner on third. I want to ask you about basketball, Tyler. All right, I see a lot of basketball games, man. You love your school. You love your other programs.
Yeah.
You cheer on all those guys. Basketball, you got any skills? Can you if Coach Wahlberg asked you to come out, what could you bring to the court?
You know, I could make a three-pointer, like maybe here and there, but
Dad's laughing.
He's a rebounder.
Yeah, maybe. But I just like supporting my guys.
All right. Yeah. How about PE or anything? Are you able to how does PE work? I mean, Kevin, you're the PE teacher. How does PE work in high school for athletes? Remind everybody out there and remind me.
We're
too.
Actually fortunate. We've got baseball PE class.
Okay.
So, you know, we get a lot of weightlifting time in there, and then now we're actually able to practice during PE time. So
got
it makes it nice, yeah.
Got it. Okay. Tyler, describe what types of pitches that you throw when you're on the mound. What do you got?
Fastball, curveball, changeup.
All right, how do you grip your changeup?
Circle changeup.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful. So it's diving a little bit, to a left
yeah.
hand. Outside and to right hand, inside
yep.
on them. Okay. You committed to play baseball at Fresno State.
Yep.
When did you do that? Has it been about a year?
It was.
The summer?
Last May.
It was last May. It was in the middle of our Clovis series, so last week of track.
Okay. So how does that all work? So obviously you're still committed, right? You haven't signed yet because you're still a junior. So who do you mainly talk to in situations like that?
Like coach
State.
Wise? Coach Overland. He recruited me, yeah. Showed a lot of love towards me, and I'm just very grateful for the opportunity they've presented towards me.
Absolutely. So Kevin, as a father and as a baseball coach, like how has that process been? Right? You know, Tyler's still a junior and you're focused on the program here and now. He's got one more year after this as well. But you know, looking for the future, you got to plan for that as well. So as a dad, how are you able to balance that coach, dad, all that?
I think the toughest part is probably because he's a multi-sport athlete. You know, a lot of times guys are specializing in sports right now, so they're able to play baseball year-round. You know, and Tyler's not able to do it. He plays a lot of baseball in the summertime, but he doesn't get to do it year-round. So he's not seen at some of the events that some of these other guys are. So I think it was important. One of the reasons he committed early is because he wanted to get it done before football season, you know, last year. And it was fun for me. You know, I kind of sat back and we let the process unfold. You know, we went to some Fresno State games last year, and Tyler, after one of the games, he just told me, he goes, "This feels like home." You know, mm-hmm. And then not long after that, he ended up committing to him. So, yeah.
Have you guys been Bulldog fans through and through?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I've been. I mean, I went to college at Cal State Northridge,
yeah.
but I grew up a Bulldog fan, and I still love going to games now, and you know, try to get to as many football, basketball, baseball games as we can.
Talking with Kevin and Tyler Patrick. Kevin, I want to ask you, too, about the landscape of recruiting and all that. You know, you mentioned you went to Cal State Northridge. You went to City right out of Clovis City and then Northridge. How has the landscape for recruiting, is it better or worse, or are you indifferent about it? Obviously, it's changed, right? The summer showcases where a lot of kids are seen. You know, coaches aren't coming to games anymore, really, are they? So how is that? How's that all changed?
I think, it's some of it's similar, but a lot of it's changed. I think the biggest difference is, like you said, yes, the specialization. You know, guys are playing all year round. And social media has been a huge part of it, too. You know, you see all kinds of videos now, and, you know, I know some coaches actually recruit that way, you know. And so whether that's good or bad, it's not for me to decide. But, it's definitely, it's got some similarities, but they're, you know, it has evolved over the years, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely different. And even with basketball, right? It seems like the summer is where it's at, and football with 7-7. So Tyler, let's talk about football. So
okay.
You're a football guy, quarterback since sophomore year on varsity. You guys had a really special season.
Yep.
Last year had a really special season that was fortunately lost to a game against San Joaquin Memorial. To you, what's the difference between preparing for baseball and preparing for football, right? So football, one game a week. You got the Friday Night Lights, right? And everyone talks about it. It's a big deal. Baseball's different. Like, even in the track, you guys are playing three games a week.
Right.
Not a lot of time to work on things during the week. You got to prepare a different way. So, in your mind, how is the preparation different between baseball and football?
I mean, like you were saying, football, it's one game a week, so you got the Friday Night Lights, and I think that just creates more hype because it's one game, you're preparing all week for a new opponent, and then you just let it all loose on Friday. And then for baseball, I mean, right now, track, you have three games a week, so, I mean, I'd say it's the same goal, baseball and football. You're trying to go 1-0 every game, and right now, at baseball, we're in the track, so we're just trying to go 1-0 three times a week.
Three times a week. Still, so Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays, right, Coach Patrick? So Mondays and, right, Thursdays. What are practices looking like? You know, you got guys that are sore, right? Pitching staff's probably, you know, taxed certain ways. So how are you able to prepare on those off days?
It's tough. I mean, you try to get your work in the best that you can. You know, with three games a week, it's tough to get, you know, your guys on a normal, regular bullpen schedule just because, like you said, they're taxed already. You know, they may have already thrown Tuesday or Wednesday, so you're not going to have a bullpen on Thursday, you know. Yeah. So it's tough, but it's a lot of fun. I do like the three-game sets per, you know, in the track. Before, you know, you could line, you would play everybody one time through and then you double up the second time around. You know, that way you're seeing somebody's ace twice. You know, this way you're only going to see somebody, you know, one time a week. You know, so usually the best team's going to win this way.
How is your pitching set up? So you mentioned Santos and Tyler are your two main guys. Are you going with them on, how's it set up? Are you going Tuesday, Wednesday with them, Tuesday, Friday, and then doing a, you know, quote-unquote bullpen game for the other game?
Yeah, so for this week, Santos will start on Tuesday. Wednesday's senior night for us, so we're going to run some of our seniors out there on Wednesday, and then Tyler will start on Friday night.
All right, Friday night.
Love it.
What's the difference between playing at night and playing during the day? What do you guys prefer? I love night games, man. Yeah.
Well, there's more fans in the stands, that's for sure.
Right.
You know, it makes it tough for some people to get off work to be there at, you know, for a 3:30 game. I think it's just, you know, a lot more electricity in the air for those 6:30 games under the lights, and you know, it's pretty special. It's a lot of fun in the track. It really is. It's almost like a college atmosphere.
Kevin, let's go back to Cal State Northridge. So, played for Batesville there.
I did.
Right? Played for baseball before he moved on to Fresno State. What are some fun memories that you remember from Northridge or from Coach Batesville?
He was just a hard-nosed guy. I mean, he was a young coach when I first started playing for him. So, you know, a little rough around the edges, you know. He was pretty intense, to say the least. I had a lot of fun, though. I really learned how to hit from him. Not that I couldn't before that, but, I mean, just some of the finer details in hitting and using the whole field. He's a great offensive coach, you know. He's a very good hitting coach. But I just had a lot of fun. It gave me an opportunity to play Division I baseball, and, you know, it's something I'll never forget. And, you know, we were an independent at the time, so we got to go to some great venues. And, you know, we played a lot of Pac-12 schools, SEC, Big 12, you know what I mean? So we got to go to a lot of different places that, you know, create some great memories and relationships with my teammates.
What was the field condition like at Northridge?
It was terrible.
Describe it.
It was terrible when we got there.
What did it look like? You have bleachers even?
We had some bleachers. There was no lights. It was a very average field. But, you know, it was Division I baseball, and I got an opportunity. And fortunately, we got to play a lot of road games, so we didn't have to play on a whole lot.
All right, so you do have one memory, right? So you get a hit off of a couple future major leaguers or
Yeah, probably the best one is we were playing at USC, and I got to have the opportunity to hit against Barry Zito. And, you know, he had a nasty curveball. It was that thing just dropped off the table. But, you know, fortunately, I hit some fastballs, and I went 2 for 3 off him, hit a ball off the wall. So that's probably one of my best memories.
So you didn't allow him to throw a curveball on you, or you just took it? You
took it.
Yeah,
I knew better.
smart. Tyler, so, you know, you said that off air that you didn't have there's no video footage of your dad getting these two hits off of Zito. Right?
I trust him.
You trust him?
Yeah.
You trust these stories?
Well,
he's actually
got the media guide from when I played, and it actually has my stats in there. So
okay. All right.
Yeah.
And you were above a 300 hitter, weren't you, Kevin? You were
about
340, 350?
360 my junior year and 350 my senior year. All right.
So you got a lot of you know, baseball genes from your dad.
Right.
How have you appreciated playing for your dad. You know, I've had a lot of coaches on air that they've coached their kid, and you know, I always like to explore that. That's just part of my interest as a TV or as a radio personality. But Kevin, how has it been playing for your dad?
It's been good. I mean, a lot of fun, to say the least. Freshman year, obviously, just being a freshman on varsity and playing a lot, you get a lot of people saying stuff, but thankfully I've backed that up to the best of my ability, and now it's just fun. Just get to go out and play the game I love with my teammates.
And it's important to try to block out the noise and block out those extra things.
Sometimes he probably doesn't always like it. You know, I'm a little tougher on him than some other guys at times. But the nice thing about it is we get to go home and kind of reel things back in and have a good chat about things.
Right. Well, that's always tough, right? And, you know, and just finding that balance. Sure. Finding that balance. So you guys are San Francisco Giants fans still?
Yep.
How many games do you guys like to try to go? I know you guys are in full baseball mode here in the high school baseball season, but how many games do you guys like to try to get out to or watch?
It's tough, you know, especially with his summer baseball and football schedule. But we try to get to a couple each summer, you know. But, yeah, we love going to whatever it's called now. It's Oracle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love going there. So, it's
Tyler, did you even have a choice who to root for, or is it like you're a Giants fan?
Always grown up loving the Bay Area teams, like the 49ers, Giants, and then the Warriors.
Who's your favorite Major League Baseball players right now? Who are some guys that you like?
I like Mike Trout, obviously, and then I like Aaron Judge. Yeah, you see that hitting video of him that came out recently?
Uh-uh.
Well, it was just talking about his approach, and it was some good stuff, so I like that.
Well, I mean, we count Aaron Judge as one of our own, right?
Right.
And we've seen him evolve from a toolsy 6'7" guy with a lot of holes in his swing to Aaron Judge, 62 home runs, American League record. Yeah, it's been a fun thing to watch over the years. So, Coach Patrick, who are some of your favorite baseball players of all time?
There's numerous. Growing up, Tony Gwynn was probably one of my favorite guys to watch, because not a guy that hit the ball out of the ballpark a ton, but you know, he hit over 300 just about every year, struck out very little. But he could hit home runs when he needed to. So that's one guy. Miguel Cabrera is a guy who's done it for, you know, 20 years now. He's a very good hitter. Obviously, you know, Albert Pujols is another guy. Being a Giants fan, Buster Posey.
A Hall of Famer?
I think so.
He has to be.
I think so. And then obviously now Mike Trout and, like you said, Aaron Judge. It's just fun. You know, it's fun to watch guys who know how to compete at the plate and do what they do at a really high level.
And I think with – you know, when you see a player like Mike Trout, I was able to watch him at Oakland a couple Sundays ago. He hit a home run to right center. And it's just when you see a dude, mm-hmm. right, he's a once-in-a-generational player, sure. I think, Mike Trout. How about Barry Bonds?
How about his teammate, Ohtani?
So, you know?
Yeah.
Back-to-back.
Yeah.
I saw him back-to-back that.
Yeah.
I think if Ohtani keeps up this type of pace, what he's doing, I think he should be considered the greatest baseball player of all time. And it's like, right? I mean, there's nobody to compare him to.
No, you can't. Nobody's done what he's done, you know, being able to throw 100 miles an hour as a starting pitcher and hitting, you know, be a force in the lineup like he is. But going back to your question, Bonds, I can't, you know, I think he's one of the best hitters of all time. We had a dog, a black lab, and it was named Bonds. So we love Barry Bonds, you know, yeah, as Giants fans. He was pretty special. A lot of fun to watch hit balls out of the ballpark.
No, absolutely. And then, you know, I love to go back and watch that Eric Gagne versus Barry Bonds at bat. If you haven't seen that in a while, go ahead and Google that and watch that. That's just how he's able to pull 101 miles an hour into, you know, cove, pull it, and then hit that ball to right field. But Coach, I'll end with you. Tyler, thanks for coming, man. You've been a pleasure to watch the last couple of years, and you got a lot of baseball ahead of you for the next year and beyond. But Kevin, I want to ask you, what does Clovis West need to do to find yourselves moving far in the playoffs for the rest of the year?
Like I said earlier, I think number one is get healthy. We're starting to get there. We do have some guys that are still banged up. But like I said, that the group that we thought might be our starters going into the season is getting healthy now, and we're getting some guys hot. You know, Caden Munster's really hitting the ball well now. Dom DeCaneo's another guy that's really hot right now. Mark Anthony Carroll's been great lately. So we've got some guys, you know, I think, as we get that consistency moving forward. And if we can do that, I think we can make a really good run here because the pitching's been good and they've given us a chance to win pretty much every time out. So, you know, if you pitch and play good defense, you're going to have a chance to win. And I think we're really close offensively to getting to where we need to be.
And Caden Munster, who's headed to Fresno State, he's signed, sealed, and delivered as well. So Tyler going to be joining him in a few years. Big left-handed bat. Man, that kid, he's a big kid. He is a monster.
He's a lot of fun to coach, and you know, he really is a great kid. And he's a, you know, he's a phenomenal hitter too. And we're going to miss him after this year. That's for sure. But I'm excited that we're going to get to watch him at Fresno State, and you know, like what they're doing with the local guys. Murph Gray's really tearing it up right now, and you know, Camp Schneider's going there next year, and obviously Eshawn's doing really well there right now. So hopefully we can get some more local guys to stay home, and you know, help get those guys to the postseason.
Absolutely, I agree. Kevin and Tyler Patrick, thanks guys for coming in. Always a lot of fun. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, more baseball. This is a baseball-heavy edition here on the Central Valley Sports Report. We'll be talking with Kerman head coach Jared Coleman on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
I appreciate each and every one of you guys for listening. Central Valley Sports Report, I'm your host, Paul Metters. Yeah, it's always fun to talk to coaches and players and people in the media about high school sports. And I posted it last week on Twitter. You know, good vibes only on my show. And so hopefully all the good stuff about high school sports shines through and through throughout the show because, man, of course we could focus on all the negative. There's negative everywhere you turn, right, in life, social media, on the news. Hey, I want my 2 hours here on Saturday mornings to be positive vibes, right? Talk about all the good stuff in high school sports. I mentioned in the opener before we bring on Jared Coleman, the head coach at Kerman, that I have some Fresno Grizzlies tickets. Come down here to First String Sports. We'll give them to you. Tonight they play the Stockton Ports at 6:50, and tomorrow at – ooh, I switched up these tickets. Tomorrow at 1:05. Come on down here. We'll give them to you for free. I have 8 tickets for each day. I want to mention, too, really quick about the Central Section playoffs and what that looks like with baseball. So baseball is going to be here before we know it. Swim and dive state championships are going to be here at Clovis West. The state track and field state championship at Buchanan again this year. Baseball playoffs, believe it or not, are going to start on May 17th. The home sites for certain divisions are going to be for the championship games, and Valley Strong Ballpark is also going to host a few games as well. And yes, they're going to be regionals, just SoCal or NoCal. Regional is not a true state championship in baseball. All right, so Jared Coleman, got him on the line right now. Mentioned that he is the head baseball coach at Kerman. The team is currently 13-6, 5-1 in Tri-County play, which is a loaded conference. We're going to get into the teams that they play in just a second. They beat Reedley yesterday 12-0. Jared, thanks for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Yeah, where are you at right now? You're on location? You're on assignment? What's going on?
I'm at home. You know, when you coach, you got to do some stuff around the house. So this morning I put a trampoline together for the kids. The other one fell apart, so we got another one. So if I didn't get it put together for my three-year-old, I think he was going to be pretty upset. So.
And you have to definitely take advantage of these times with your family, man. The life of a coach, man, it can be very, very crazy. All right, so I had J.D. Sales on the show. I had Coach Kevin Patrick and his son Tyler on the show. I asked them what their Easter traditions were. You know, Easter was about a week ago. What are some of the traditions that you guys have in your family right now? You mentioned you got a 3-year-old. So what else you got going?
So right now, we got a 12-year-old boy named Peyton, a 7 or 8-year-old daughter Faith, and then a 3-year-old boy named Sonny. So pretty much right now, what we do is. Saturday was before Easter was my youngest son's birthday, so we kind of celebrated with my family, had some people over, and kind of did it that way. And Sunday we went to church in town here at the high school, and then we went to the in-laws in the afternoon and spent it with them. And you know, you talked about the golden egg, and my mother-in-law definitely had to, She has the same amount of numbers because you know how the kids are. You know, get too many, you know, it causes some problems. So you got to have three golden eggs. They each get one. So
equal opportunities.
Yeah.
All right. So yesterday you guys played Reedley and you played a very well-rounded baseball game. You won 12-0. What was clicking with your team in that game?
You know, for the first time all year, we played the clean game that we had been talking about. You know, you talk about teams and what's going to click with everything, and we finally got a chance to get some good time on the field without having any issues, you know, getting good defensive work in and things like that. Because we know we're, you know, a lot of teams have been making some errors, even including us, which is very uncharacteristic. And so to play a clean game against a quality opponent is important right now, and it feels like the guys are just clicking. You know, we talked about it all week about approach and things like that, and you know, we had our best offensive day yesterday with 19 hits, so you can't complain much with that. Didn't make an error. Pitching was fantastic. My sophomore Aiden Olivares only allowed 2 hits in 5 innings, and my freshman came in Torres, and he struck out 2 and only gave up 1 hit in 2 innings, so they were fantastic yesterday.
I want to ask you, too, about your roster. Up and down, checking it out, man, you got freshmen on the team, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. So, you know, talk about, you know, the balance that you guys have as far as classes go and your roster this season.
So it's been one of those things where we're very fortunate. We've had guys, you know, like Devin Daniel last year that graduated. That was a 4-year guy. We had a couple guys that were 3-year guys. And now this year, you know, with Dominic Puentes, he's been a 4-year guy on varsity, and Noe Salazar has been up there as a senior. And then, you know, we've got, you know, Adam Delgado, who's been up there for 3 years, and Gilbert Acosta. The experience these kids have had, you know, they played in a section championship. You know, they played against some top-notch teams, so it really is paying off all of the experience these kids have had. And now we've got 3 freshmen starting. We've got a freshman at first, Vaughn Blunt. He got his first couple hits this week, a big one. Over at Reedley that really separated the game. Probably the best at bat all day. Fouled off 3 or 4 pitches, 3-2, and hit a ball in the left field gap. Adrian Torres, he's done a fantastic job. He's 3rd on the team in RBIs. I know he's only hitting, you know, I know he gets upset. He's only hitting 230, 240 right now, but, you know, he's had some big moments for us. And then freshman Xavier Montalvo, which had his best day yesterday, 3 hits and a left fielder, dove and robbed him of a 4th one, but it was a sacrifice fly.
So that works, doesn't count as a bat.
Yeah.
So, you know, you talk about, you know, how balanced your team is and your pitching, but I want to go back to Delgado. What a special athlete this dude is, right? And played varsity as a freshman, putting up crazy numbers. What, he's a wide receiver on the football team. Did I read that right? He's caught like 13 touchdowns this season. When you got a dude
special last year. You know, when that Clovis East game, I think he had about 150 yards receiving. It was pretty impressive.
When you got an athlete like that, like, I mean, how easy is that for you to coach when you got a dude like that? You just pencil him in the lineup, throw him on the mound, he could do everything.
That you pretty much just said it all. You know, we talk about it all the time. When he's on the mound, he's going to give us a chance to win. You know, whether or not he gives up a couple hits or a couple runs, he's going to keep us in the game. Because one thing about him and a lot of our starters and recently, they get better when it gets harder. And that's a very important thing. They don't get rattled too often. If we make an error defensively, they pick it up on their own on the mound. You know, it's pretty special to see these guys up there and be unwavered by anything that happens. And, you know, we preach that a lot, but they do a very good job of it. So, you know, even hitting, you know, he's on fire right now. The kid's just, he's doing it all right now. He's great with the glove. So we're very fortunate to have a guy like that.
Where do you play him in the field when he isn't pitching?
Second base. He has played some shortstop. He could play outfield if we needed him to. He probably could play first and third. And he's even caught a couple bullpens because he just felt like he wanted to that day. So, you know, he's just one of those kids.
And you mentioned one of your other main pitchers, sophomore Aiden Olivares. What does that kid bring to the pitching mound?
You know, he is one of those guys that I think people look at, you know, they say, oh, you know, we can hit this guy. And he pitches around the barrel. He has just done a fantastic job. He stepped into that role. he was going to be on the mound, but he stepped into that role when we lost Gastelum and Laza this year. And so he has done a fantastic job. I mean, you can't say much more about him. His ERA is getting lower as the season's going on. And, you know, he's just a competitor. And he's really grown from last year to this year tremendously. So he's pretty special.
And you're at home setting up trampolines. Yeah, you're spending time with your family. You're not sitting next to me, so you can't punch me in my arm right now. But for bringing up last year, right? You know, you're having that. I know you're. you're having that magical season. 28-0 Central Section record. You know, everyone's talking about you. And you just had one of those great teams. And come playoff times, it's baseball, right? You guys lose in the first round to the 16 seed, and we knew that St. Joe's was a dangerous 16 seed as well. You know, coming into this year, you know, how did you and your staff approach that? Did you even mention it? Did you bury it? Or, you know, what was that message from last year coming into this year?
You know, we talked about it a little bit. We brought up the fact that, you know, what we did last year was special. The fact that we were able to win 28 games in a row when what happened in that playoff game could have happened in any one of those games. You know, it really was a couple of times we had some runners in scoring position. We just didn't get them in. And, you know, you make an error that you make the play 99 out of 100 times. And that's what's so difficult about baseball. You know, we played St. Joe's earlier in the year, and they had some guys that weren't cleared yet before then, and they had them in that game. And, you know, they're a great program. And right now you're going to see them start taking off. They've got some great guys going over there right now that they've got that are cleared, that are doing a good job for them. So they're going to be another dangerous team for anybody that has to see them in the playoffs. So, you know, they're doing a good job over there. But, you know, it's just one of those things. Just, you know, we can't take anybody for granted, can't take any moment for granted. And that's what we talk about. You know, this week was a big week because it set us up for a good matchup next week. It puts us in position to do something special for the program. But, you know, every week is just another week to us. You know, we try not to make games bigger than what they are. It's just another game and another opponent. And as long as we do what we're supposed to do, we'll have a chance.
Yeah, and baseball, you're right, is funny in those situations where it's a single elimination. You know, you knew you were going up against a top team, a pop fly that is caught during the season, maybe a tough play, you know, maybe falls, things like that. That's just baseball. But you guys decided to take on some big teams again this year in the Fresno Easter Classic. You guys played really well. You beat Madera in 8 innings. You beat Garces 10-9, another tight one. Beat Crater, where I believe they're from Washington, in 8 innings.
They're from Oregon.
From Oregon, got it.
Yeah.
Well, Crater Lake, that makes sense, right? Jesuit, but before losing to Jesuit. How do you feel? Do you feel like your team took a leap in those in that tournament? Or was it like, hey, we play pretty good baseball?
What was special about that tournament and what we've noticed this year is that every time we get down, we respond. And it's the markings of a good team. You know, we had played Rigetti early on, and we were up 4-0 quick on them, and they ended up taking the lead late in the game. And right after they took the lead, you know, in the seventh inning, Puentes came up and hit a walk-off home run. So there's just – they continue to respond in the right moments. Against Madera, we were 1-1. Delgado threw 7 innings, took him out, gave up a run in the eighth, and then, you know, freshman Torres gets a base hit to walk it off. And it's coming from different people every time, which is what's pretty special. So it's been answering the bell's been different this year, and it's cool to see.
And you guys changed leagues this year at the beginning of the year. Gabe Camarillo and I, we just had a heck of a time trying to figure out who belongs in what league off the top of our head.
Yeah.
We tried to study that spreadsheet the best we could. And so now you guys are in the Tri-County League with 10 teams. So how it works is there's 10 total schools in the league. And based on how they do in different sports, it's not set, right? So it's based on how you do. You're going to be put in one division or another. So your division includes Kingsburg. And you mentioned that this week, man, you guys are playing them again. I've seen them play. They are a really good team. Washington Union, Sierra Pacific, and Reedley are also in your division. You've played Union in the past. They're in the league in your past. But what are you looking forward to? And what, you know, talk about the big matchup this week, two games against Kingsburg.
You know, Kingsburg is 16-3 for a reason. You know, they played some tough games. I was watching their game last night on Game Changer against Sierra Pacific. They played some tough games, but they always find a way to come out on top. And again, that's another marking of a good team. You know, they were tied with Sierra Pacific, and of course, you know, one of those Hirschhorn boys came up and got a base hit to take the lead there in the bottom of the sixth, and the other Hirschhorn brother closed it out. You know, and you know, the youngest one ended up starting that game. So you know, it's they're a well-rounded team. You know, Winslow. It just to talk about the first time we played them, they had a runner on second in the first inning. And he comes up, and, you know, it's a 3-0 pitch. It's one of those where we can either walk him or, you know, you can throw a ball outside and see what he does with it. And, you know, being the good hitter he is, he had a line drive in the four hole with the ball outside. And it was a bang-bang play at the plate. My freshman came up from right field. He's got a cannon, and I think it could have gone either way. You know, we're going to be biased and say he was thrown out. But he was called safe, and that led to them getting two runs in the first, and that was pretty much all they needed. You know, Winslow was on the mound that game, and unfortunately, he was a little more confident in his stuff than we were at the plate, and that was the difference. So,
talking with Jared Coleman, the head baseball coach at Kerman, how, you know, again, mentioned we had J.D. Sales and Kevin Patrick on the show, and, you know, J.D. Sales played for Kevin Patrick, and then Tom Donald, who was on the show last week, head coach of Bullard, walks in. He's buying stuff here at First String Sports. The baseball fraternity in the Central Valley is, to me, it's super special. And you mentioned the Hirschhorns. You played at Fresno Pacific for Oscar. And now you're competing as a coach against three of his sons for Kingsburg. I mean, just how fun is that, to be honest, when you take
it
a step
is.
Back?
And you know, the even more special thing is my grandpa coached Oscar when he was at Kerman. So the world, the baseball world in this community is very small. It's special. You know, they're good people. I got to talk to him. He was able to make it to that game after. And, you know, it's just great to catch up with him because it's always a good conversation. You know, it's always good to hear him talk to you about, you know, things they like that we do and things like that. You know, to get that comment from a former coach is pretty special to hear from. And, you know, just getting to talk to him, see his boys, it's special because they were real small when I was out there. You know, now they're giants, so all of them.
They're not small now. So young freshman Jensen is 6'5", and I got to watch him pitch against Fowler. And then I got to watch him, you know, tear it up at Selland Arena in the Central Valley Championship game and against Sierra High School. So, yeah, the coaching fraternity is strong in the Central Valley. You know, we're all at the end, we're all baseball guys that are just love the game and you know, try to do the best we can as coaches. I want to ask you too, Jared, before we hit the break, talk about your coaching, you know, prowess and pedigree and where you learned, you know, most of your coaching skills from growing up. Who are some of the coaches that influenced you?
So a couple coaches. One isn't a baseball coach, but a lot of people know him. First one I'll talk about is Lindell Hawkins. He was a fantastic football player at Fresno State. He was one of those coaches that really impacts a lot of people's lives in our community. We're fortunate to have him around. He coaches at Fresno City now, but he's one of those guys where, you know, I got hit hard running the ball one time and I didn't go down and I could hear him yelling at me in my head. So I just kept going, ended up getting the 2-point conversion. He's one of those coaches just, you know, he'll still take the time to sit and talk to me about philosophy and things like that. He's just a special guy. Another one is Tom Saunders. He was my coach before Jay Pruce was my senior year, and Saunders was a fantastic coach. You know, he ran a very tight ship. Everything that he did was, you know, we would have a practice plan. You know, what we were going to do was organized. And we still, you know, when I took over the program, I asked him if he would come and coach with me for my first year to help me out a little bit, and he actually came back a couple days a week, even though he's got his own family, and he helped me coach that first year. So that was pretty special to have him on the staff. You know, Coach Hirschhorn, you know, we had a good relationship at Fresno Pacific. You know, they trusted me a lot. You know, I was a work in progress. I wasn't the perfect player coming out of college. And, you know, they really stuck with me, and I appreciated that a lot because by the time I was a junior and senior, I think it ended up paying off for them. So I contributed a lot more than I did when I was a freshman and a sophomore. Another guy, you know, one of my assistant coaches right now, Coach Potter, David Potter, he's been around the game for a long time. And, you know, he always wants to have chairs, you know, whether we go in a home game or away game. And I know he hasn't told me much this year because I've been pretty calm. But when I first started, I had a little bit more energy, and he's like, take a seat. Sit down, relax, take a breath, you know, and you know, I would sit down a lot more, but now I kind of stand next to him and I don't get too excited. I don't, you know, we work well together, and he kind of calmed me down as a coach. And I think that just happens with time too. But you know, those influences, obviously, you know, my dad growing up, he was hard on me, but you know, I feel like I'm the same way with my son. He always wanted me to be my best, and you know, trying to be a perfectionist and being as good as you can is a blessing and a curse. Because, you know, when you mess up, you know what you did wrong, and you're going to hear what you did wrong. So you got to be able to take that criticism a little bit.
Absolutely. And you know, the coaching fraternity is something very special. And I forgot to mention Hirschkorn, obviously a Kerman graduate as well. So baseball runs deep all throughout the Central Valley. Jared, always appreciate, you know, you taking the time to talk to us. Your team is currently 13-6, and you're doing a great job there, and really, really appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right. So his Kerman Lions take on Kingsburg this week, Wednesday at 4 o'clock and at home, and Friday at 7 o'clock at Kingsburg. Okay. Great show today, baseball through and through. Thank you guys again for listening. Thank you to First String Sports. Thank you to Jorge Rodriguez, Gabe Camarillo, J.D. Sales, Tyler Patrick, and Dad Kevin Patrick of Clovis West. And we just talked to Derek Coleman, the head baseball coach at Kerman. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.